This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Hyman working with Kane to the right corner. Hyman on the inboards. Out to Kane. To Henry. Score!
Oh, look out.
Oh, we got a tilt as Hill was going after Kane. The Edmonton Oilers are up 2-0.
Hurricanes over the Caps. Carolina leads Washington 3-1, and Edmonton leads the Golden Knights 3-1 with the 3-0 victory last night. That was the call on Oilers Radio, and hopefully the Dallas Stars can get to 3-1 as well after Game 4 tonight. It's a preview here on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. Now, Gavin Spittle vouched for this guy. He said he's an absolute beast. He's got the nice setup right now, so we're off to a good start on the fan cam, Twitch, and Zoom. Connor Rabchek is joining us, Winnipeg Jets writer, to preview Game 4 here on The Fan. Good morning, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Gavin, for vouching for me. Gavin's my guy. We've done many podcast appearances back and forth. He's a legend. And I'm coming to you live from sunny and hot Winnipeg, where it's 98 degrees Fahrenheit today.
No so, way.
Winnipeg's not always cold.
98?
98 is the high Fahrenheit.
We're supposed to be getting 95 today.
Yeah, but yeah. We're 1,000 miles south.
Yeah, they do. They got us beat today. Tomorrow will be 100, though. So
For here? Well, this weekend we go back down to like below freezing. So it's short-lived.
That's good.
What bar is that you're in?
No, this is a green screen.
I know.
Oh, it's a green screen. Okay. That's not as cool. He's got a whole setup in his house.
We did not think it was a whole setup. We knew it was a green screen. We were just having fun trying to get people on the fan cam. Connor, your thoughts on the series so far and where we are?
Yeah, I think it's two cup contenders going back and forth with counter punches. I mean, game one was all Mikko Rantanen in Winnipeg. That was such an impressive performance. The Jets just couldn't stop him. I mean, no one else on the Stars was really that impressive in game one except for Rantanen, and the Stars won home ice advantage back with that game. The Jets respond. Connor Hellebuck looks like he's back with the shutout in game two. And then game three has been the story of the Winnipeg Jets postseason so far, where they can't win on the road. They haven't won on the road in St. Louis. They didn't win on the road in game three. And it's always a 2 to 5 minute stretch where they just lose it. And in that game, it was the third period. It was the long review, the controversial goal. Mikko Rantanen scores 50 seconds later. The Jets just don't handle that moment well. And they're down 2-1 in this series. And this game tonight is such a huge one because the Jets haven't won on the road in the playoffs so far. And they've been great at home. They've defended home ice well. But if you go down 3-1 to a team that may or may not have Miro Heiskanen back tonight, but expected to get him back in the series, that's a tough deficit to play yourself out of. So big one tonight.
So, Connor, when you get a team like that's got an elite goaltender like Winnipeg, like a lot of times that goaltender...
Had one,
yes, regular season. But that goalie can mask a lot of deficiencies on the team. And then, you know, when he doesn't have a great game, you know, you see what happens. Is that kind of what has gone on, especially on the road for y'all?
I will say last year, the Jets had a lot of deficiencies and they got bounced in like 5 games against the Avs in the first round. So I think Connor Hellebuck covered up a lot last year, but this year it was supposed to be different. They had the number one power play in the league. Their underlying metrics were great. They were one of the best defensive teams at, you know, not allowing shots, not allowing chances. And then when they would give up chances, Connor Hellebuck would obviously be there to stop it. And he's a Hart Trophy candidate for that reason. In the playoffs, maybe your deficiencies get exposed a little bit more. So maybe that's what it is. On the road, I will say the Jets don't have last change. And one of the biggest weaknesses maybe for this Jets team is their, you know, bottom of the lineup defense pairings or forward core. So when that group is out there tired after an icing and the Stars can throw out Roope Hintz, Mikko Rantanen, and Thomas Harley, that is maybe a situation where the Jets don't have an answer for it. And they're hoping for their goaltender to bail them out. And on the road so far in these playoffs, their goaltender hasn't bailed them out. He hasn't played at a Hart Trophy level on the road. And that goes hand in hand with the Jets falling apart in these 5 minute stretches on the road. It's Connor Hellebuck as well. You could use a save in these moments and they're just not getting one.
Are Jets fans starting to turn on him a little bit? How much panic is setting in?
Jets fans aren't turning on him per se. I mean, after game two, when he shut out the Stars, everyone was, he's back. He's Connor Hellebuck's back. Bad news for the rest of the NHL. All of those things. I will say on the road, if he puts up another one tonight, it's going to be interesting. But even in round one, when he got pulled in all three road games, there were some people calling for the backup. But even then, it's like, this guy was a Hart Trophy candidate. Like, if Connor McDavid has four rough games in a row, you're not benching him if you're the Edmonton Oilers, right? So I think the fan base still he still has the support of the fan base, especially at home. I mean, every game when he gets announced, there's these loud MVP chants inside Canada Life Center. And it's now up to Connor Hellebuyck to put that performance forward on the road in a game where the Jets really need it. Because like I said, a 3-1 deficit to the Stars would be tough.
Connor Rabchek, Winnipeg Sports Talk, joining us here, 105.3 The Fan, Stars of the Jets tonight. All right. He's annoying, man. He annoys me. The eye thing. He's the anthem's going on the other day, and he's doing some little dance like he's getting ready. He's a tryhard. Like, does he not annoy you guys? Like, he's so annoying to me.
No, not at all. He's
you should change that, your first name funny. Because of it.
Yeah, I would consider that. Yeah,
exactly. Every goalie does that, no? I think every goalie does the little twitch thing during the anthem and does the eye thing. But it's become such a thing for Connor Hellebuyck. That's the only thing that they know him as is the eye thing. But like every goalie does eye exercises. I don't know. I don't hate him for that. I think it's funny that that's what they've latched onto. That's what I'll say.
Did you agree with the kick ruling as they're calling it? And how many Winnipeg fans are crying foul that we got screwed in the pivotal game three moment?
I personally disagreed with it. I know a lot of Winnipeg fans, like every Winnipeg fan disagreed with it. Every Dallas fan agreed with it. Obviously, that's how these controversial calls almost always go. I will say, you know, I thought it was a distinct kicking motion. And I think that's where things are getting lost here. Because if you think it's a kick, then Connor Hellebuyck deflects it in, and that should be no goal. But if you don't think it's a kick and he's kind of just redirecting it, then Connor Hellebuyck propels the puck into his own net. And I could see where some of that language kind of changes, whether or not it's a distinct kicking motion or not. So having a few days here to sit on it, I do understand the rationale that the refs came to, that they didn't think it was a kick. Connor Hellebuyck then propelled the puck in. That counts as a goal. Again, in real time, it just looked like the puck bounced seven different ways and went in. So in real time, you're not saying, oh my goodness, that's a kick, that shouldn't count. I will say, after looking at it from a million different angles, you might come to the conclusion that it shouldn't count. But the biggest thing for me, and I've said this a couple times now, is how the Jets handled that. And they haven't handled that well in the playoffs at all. It's long review. It doesn't go your way. And they just collapse. They let in another goal in the next minute. And then they don't generate a single scoring chance from that point forward in the game. Like, it's just, that was the game. It was over. And it was a one goal game with 15 and a half minutes left. And the Jets just showed no life. So whether or not, you know, the call goes your way or not, the Jets didn't respond to it well.
Connor, you know, one of the things that was a big talking point, and I guess a big fear for Stars fans heading into this series, was the physicality that Winnipeg could present. And, you know, the book on Dallas, a lot of times it felt like was just a finesse hockey team that if you punched them in the mouth a little bit, then that would knock them out of their game. The last couple of games, I mean, game one, just a giant disparity in terms of hits, like it had been during the regular season matchups, a lot closer to the last two games, Dallas winning both of those. Has the evened out physicality at all surprised you? And do you think that's part of the reason why Winnipeg's having trouble?
Maybe. I will say round one against the Blues was maybe the most physical series I've ever seen in my life between the Jets and Blues. Like, that was just an absolute bloodbath. And then game one of the Jets and Stars, I was almost sitting there like, where are all the hits? Like, what is going on here? This is the playoffs still. Game three, I will say Dallas really took it to the Jets, I thought, in the physicality department, especially on home ice, getting that the crowd behind them and using that. I really thought that they did that quite well and punched the Jets in the mouth, per se. And it'll be interesting to see, because the Jets' third pair in the Blues series was Logan Stanley and Luke Shen, two tall, physical defensemen, and they swapped both of those players out in game two of this series and game three for more puck-moving mobile defensemen. So they're kind of going away from that punch your opponent in the mouth physicality style. They're trying to play a puck possession finesse game, which, like you say, is probably the Stars' bread and butter. So it'll be interesting to see if the Jets go back to that physicality element. I do think that that is a way to beat the Stars. The Stars were 31st in the league during the regular season in hits. So maybe the physicality element is somewhere where the Jets could press a little bit more in this series. And it is, hopefully, I mean, you guys are obviously hoping that this series ends in five and Dallas wins out. But if this is going to be a long series, that's maybe a place where you could wear your opponent down over the course of a seven-game series.
Connor, what was your prediction before the series, and where do you stand now?
I said Jets in six just because Pete DeBoer doesn't lose game sevens. So I would say Jets in seven, but like you can't do that because Pete DeBoer doesn't lose game sevens, right? My prediction now, I mean, tonight is so huge. It still technically could be Jets in six, but the way that they've played on the road, it feels like they'll have to win at home to close this series out. You know, I just can't see the Jets winning on the road to close out a series. So it would have to be Jets in seven. I'm a lot less confident about that pick. Let's just say that, because the Jets lost home ice in game one when Dallas won with the Mikko Rantanen hat trick. And now here we are down 2-1. You're on the road. The Jets haven't shown up on the road in these playoffs yet. So I think the Stars definitely have the upper hand in this series. And my Jets in six pick is looking a lot more like Stars in six, or maybe Stars in seven. We'll see.
Connor, so we need help here. Give us a good hockey analytics site, because Bobby over here uses Money Puck. That's the only thing great. He references.
It's awesome.
Is it? Give us a good analytics site for hockey that we can use to get rid of that.
I use Natural Stat Trick, so it's a little bit less of like Money Puck is very, very, very good for what you're looking for. If you're just looking for like goalie stats and how many goals are saving above expected and things like that. And they do a great job of sorting things out by line. So if you're wondering how the Mikko Rantanen line has done in this series, you could easily go sort by playoffs and look at that entire line. Natural Stat Trick is a little bit more game by game. So if you go to their site, you'll see a massive bracket and you can click on a series and you go into each game. But that stat I referenced, how the Jets did not generate a high danger chance in the third period of game three, that's from Natural Stat Trick. So you can look period by period, how teams are, you know, dominating, whether or not a team is getting off to good starts. That's another thing. The Jets have not gotten out to a good start basically this entire playoff run. And the stats support that, the underlying metrics, if you will, the scoring chances, high danger chances. So Natural Stat Trick, I use that a lot in my articles and my research.
Connor, the bar sign on your back wall says Winnipeg Sports Talk. So I'm curious, when I turn on Winnipeg Sports Talk, what is the number two topic? Judging by your wall, it's like the LA Rams. Am I reading that correctly? What's the number two? What's the number two topic on Winnipeg Sports Talk Radio?
That actually is a Winnipeg Blue Bombers jersey. So CFL, Canadian Football League, that is the number two topic on Winnipeg Sports Talk. Because, well, okay, during hockey season, it's all hockey all the time. But in the summer, we've got the Goldeyes CFL. We've got the Sea Bears. It's like a Canadian basketball league. We've got the Goldeyes as a Canadian, you know, baseball team. Very minor league stuff, but you know, it's Winnipeg, small town, big city. You know, what's the kind of an identity crisis kind of thing? No, but CFL football definitely. The Bombers have made five straight Grey Cups, so they've made it to the Super Bowl of the CFL five straight years. It's only a 9-team league. And won twice, but they sell out a ton. It's a party atmosphere. The Bombers are definitely the second topic there.
And you know who spent 3 years on Winnipeg Blue Bombers rosters, guys? Old Dallas Cowboys legend Lucky Whitehead.
Oh,
that's right.
Whitehead. Yeah.
Connor, you lived up
Lucky
to the hype.
Loves Winnipeg.
Yeah, you lived up Winnipeg. To the hype, man. We really appreciate it. Thank you so much, and enjoy the rest of the series.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Connor Rabchek joining us, Winnipeg Jets writer, live on the Fan Cam, Twitch, and Zoom. It's time for the Red Zone. RJ has more NFL schedule releases, and Stephen Jones answering the concerns over George Pickens' character. Red Zone on the home of the Cowboys after this.
After we get you over to Platinum Ford in Terrell, it is, of course, the Stephen Gilchrist owned store. Gilchrist Automotive, hooking you up with that Ford car, truck, SUV, PlatinumFord.com, right between I-20 and Highway 80. Worth the short drive to Terrell to save a lot more. Adam Vinci, the GM, Tolo. Tolo, baby. Tell him I sent you over there and what you're looking for, and he's going to hook you up. It's employee pricing time right now, so what they pay is what you get to pay. But here's a little added perk just for our listeners. You got to mention my name, RJ Choppy. Or mention the Fan, and Adam's going to hook you up on a free bed liner if you buy a truck or free window tint if you get an SUV. Right now, F-150 XLT. After all the discounts and the rebates, you're getting about 11 grand off. It's 53,000 for you, plus 2.9% for 60 months. The F-150 Platinum, you can get it for less than 75 grand, 4.9% for 60 months. Huge selection of Super Duties, largest you're going to find. F-450s, 350s, 250s, full-size Broncos, Raptor, F-150s, the all-new Ford Lightning, and they're all at employee pricing. Right now, PlatinumFord.com to customize it or drive a little further.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit MensTeaClinic.com. That's MensTeaClinic.com.
To save a lot more, Platinum Ford.
How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
You know what I like about the media? They think you can just dial 1-800 and get a quarterback.
Yeah,
every day at this time, it's your football fix with the Red Zone here on Sean and RJ. We got our Cowboys insider, Bobby Belt, back with us. Peyton and Aiden in the back, live on the Fan Camp, Twitch, and YouTube. Kevin Hagelin wearing the Duke Blue Devil hat, walking in early, ready to go. We'll celebrate Cooper Flag coming up with KNC at 9:40. Cannot wait for that. Stephen Jones was on Mad Dog Radio, and he was asked about the George Pickens concerns. Quote, he's an uber competitor, and we had one in Dez who was the same way. More Dez Bryant comparisons. I mean, he just couldn't get enough. And boy, when the lights came on and his cleats hit the turf, he was a different guy. And it feels like George is going to be that way. He certainly sometimes plays with high. By the way, we don't have this clip, right? So I don't have to read this all stuffed up. It didn't come out yet, right? We only have the one.
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah. I'll continue stuffed up. And it feels like George is going to be that way. He certainly sometimes plays with high emotion. And that can, as we all know, when you're playing sports, you're competing, a lot of emotion. Sometimes you can make a wrong decision here and there. But we had that with Dez. He certainly he knows he wants to continue to get his hands around that. Just like Dez worked at it all the time. And we feel like that it's certainly worth what comes with the talent getting better, blah, blah, blah. And then he talked about what Peter Schrager did. Peter Schrager has really been the most optimistic opinion I've heard on this. The NFL insider who went on over to ESPN, and he said what Steven is here. George Pickens is loved by his teammates. They want him on their team, and we felt the same way about Dez. We just feel like he's going to bring something here to our organization that we need in terms of an edge and bringing that energy of competition to the field day in, day out.
Yeah, I mean, that's something definitely that they've lacked in recent years has been it's something that they've lacked not only since Dez left, it's something that they lacked in the McCarthy era, because the McCarthy era is just a different approach to practice, and it's a different approach to how you prepare for the game and what you want in terms of the level of intensity versus preserving your body and turn it into a really competitive period.
Probably a very fine line too.
Yeah, and it varies. Like, there's totally different split opinions. A lot of times you'll hear coaches talk about things and they've got generally the same philosophies on a lot of different things. That sort of thing in terms of practice intensity and how much you want to amp guys up and preparation versus preservation, that's a big thing. I think Schottenheimer's more in line with a Garrett view.
I always being what?
In terms of, like, he wants more of the intensity and competitiveness at practice rather than just, oh, we got to worry about preserving, making sure they're all good for the rest of the season.
Look, I just want some edgier guys. I like this word edge, because I think of San Francisco coming out in the tunnel. And when you play the San Francisco 49ers, Trent Williams, Debo Samuel.
They were nasty.
Kittle, who's the great linebacker? Fred Warner, Bosa. There's five guys right there that you feel like were going to kick your ass. And the Dallas Cowboys were going to get punked. And they physically did get punked over and over and over again. We need more edge like that, in my opinion.
There's a it's not entitled. That's the wrong word. There's a superstar kind of aura about the Cowboys where, and it's like with superstar comes sometimes finesse. You know, that label that gets put on there, and there's not, you know, Pittsburgh has like the lunch pill. You know, the lunch pill guys, you just don't, and I know it's all cliches and crap, but you just don't see a lot of it generally. It's not like they're not tough. It's just they're not nasty.
Yeah.
You know, like
it was Bird Magic.
Right.
Like, Larry Bird was going to elbow you and take cheap shots, and Magic Johnson was going to spin move and hook shot.
Yeah, and that's, and look, there's not a bunch of different ways to skin a cat, you know, and you can get by, you can get to the NFL, you can win championships. You know, we've seen teams that are more finesse teams win titles. Like, the reality, though, is that, you know, there is a fear element to athletics, especially football, where you want to kind of be scared that the guy might literally try to hurt you.
I think what they're talking about, what I'm kind of hoping for out in Oxnard, is for Trayvon Diggs and Deron Bland, and who's the kid who said he's coming for heads after the draft disrespect that you had put in your below-the-belt teases?
Oh, Trayshawn Holden.
Yeah.
Yeah, the wide receiver from Oregon.
You want to see near fights. You want to see George Pickens elevate the intensity to where, hey, man, this every day out here is going to be... This is the way they're talking about him, all right? Every day out here is raising the level of the competition, of the intensity of the practices.
Yeah, I mean, it's the all or nothing thing. It's Jordan Lewis as a rookie standing across from Dez and them going, all right, let's get one-on-ones. It's just that intensity and that competitiveness. They feel like they need some more of that edge. And yeah, I think that Tyler Booker's a big part of that. I think they got that in Johnny Cornelius. I mean, there's a bunch of different guys that they drafted that I think fits that mold. And so Pickens is going to continue to add to that. But yeah, there are certain things about the George Pickens personality that bring questions and concerns. This is one of the ways that you hope that it's a boost and it brings you something positive.
All right, Stephen Jones also saying our goal is to get Micah here, and I think Micah wants to be a Cowboy, and we want him to be a Cowboy long term. I thought we were on the doorstep of this. Well, why isn't this done? What the hell?
Well, because then they had to call the agent, and they had to get the agent involved, and that changed things.
Selectively aggressive?
Yeah. No, I think that what it was they felt like, I think they still know they're generally in the same vicinity. They know where each other are and what it's going to take to get it done. Roughly the specifics and exactly how much each side wants to make this potentially hurt or potentially wants to drag this out remains to be seen. I think the Cowboys have historically shown they're not in a hurry. And so I think for them, until it starts presenting itself as maybe he's not going to show up to training camp, maybe he's not going to show up for this, then I don't know that they're going to feel any urgency to get it done right now.
All right. Well, Trey Hendrickson is not going to be negotiating, and TJ Watt, we'll see if he gets another deal moving forward.
Maybe he does.
You better hope Watt doesn't hurt you.
No, I know. Because, like, you know, if TJ gets that deal, what does that do to the market? Trey Hendrickson said that the Bengals are not, they've cut off all communication. They're not even negotiating right now. Yeah. They gave him an offer that was not what they had talked about. It was not, they're not on the same page. So.
Which made sense to us that this eventually was going to happen after Higgins got paid with Jamar.
Yeah, and Joe. I mean, everyone's got paid over there. You know, like, it was, you can't keep everybody. Although the Cowboys are trying.
Speaking of contract situations, really quickly, there was this small note yesterday that's not that small a note when you think of the grand scheme of things. But Tyler Smith, who is eligible for a contract extension right now, he changed agents yesterday. And he signed with Athletes First, which is David Mulugeta, where he is. It's not David Mulugeta that's his agent. But he is now being co-repped by Joe Panos, who had repped Tyron Smith in the past. A couple other guys on the offensive line. I believe Lyell was one of his. But he is co-repped by none other than Todd France. So Tyler Smith has flipped over to Joe Panos and Todd France of Athletes First. So the Cowboys will be sitting across from the negotiating table with Todd France once more, probably in the near future.
Dax
on
agent.
Tyler Smith. Yep, on Tyler Smith.
All right, Chop. NFL schedule news continuing to leak.
Yeah, so Schefter has put a lot out there. He's put a lot out there. By the way, the Chargers will travel the most of anybody this year. 37,000 miles they will travel. The Cowboys, meanwhile, will travel just under 19,000. And the Cowboys are one of the furthest, maybe the furthest team from the rest of their division in the NFL. I think they are the furthest team from the rest of their division. Miami will be up there, too, because they're all in the Northeast, but this will be the first regular season in NFL history with international games played in five different countries: Brazil, Ireland, England, Germany, and Spain. And they have released, Schefter has released more international games. Dublin, Minnesota will play the Steelers on September 28th. And then Minnesota will stay out there and they will play in London the following week against Cleveland on October 5th. Broncos will play the Jets. That's also in London. Those are going to be at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So Broncos-Jets, October 12th. October 19th, Rams-Jags in Wembley in London. Sunday, November 9th, Falcons-Colts in Berlin. And then November 16th in Madrid, first game in Madrid, it'll be Washington and the Dolphins. This is interesting. The Friday, September 5th game in Brazil, Schefter's like they haven't officially announced that it is the Chiefs. But I thought they did announce it was the Chiefs. But on his Twitter just now, it's team announced Wednesday.
Well, yeah, that was on the NFL Twitter yesterday, yeah. So.
Right?
Well, look, I don't say this very often. Whenever you're done, just let me know.
Then, of course, you got the Eagle, the four Eagle games. Cowboys-Eagles on the 4th. Yeah. Philly-Green Bay on the 10th of November. Chicago-Philly on Black Friday. And then Philly-Washington on December 20th, which is a Saturday.
I don't say this very often, but I would like to leave the NFL to get back to NBA. Oh. Because of the Dallas Mavericks winning the number one pick. We are once again a topic all over television. And, of course, rigged. I'm out. You have Mavs fans saying, I'm out. This shows that the league is a joke. They set up the Luka thing, and this was our payback. You have others saying, huh, it's kind of fun when it's rigged for you. Well, a LeBron James clip on Pat McAfee just added to the conspiracies that was dug up yesterday.
You know, during the lottery drop, Cleveland got the number one pick. That's the, I just don't think that was.
Yeah.
Just,
whoa, what are you? What a are you coincidence. Saying? Don't you think
Wemby with the Spurs? Man, that like, was a coincidence.
Oh my God. Let's keep LeBron home. You know what? Patrick Ewing to the Knicks. You know, Derrick Rose to the Bulls. But I understand the assignment, guys.
So while listening to that, I'm sure Adam Silver loved hearing that. And looking at everyone else say, oh, what about Derrick Rose? What about this? I was like, okay, well, they were probably favored those years. They were probably, you know, favored to get the number one pick or at worst, number two. Bobby has the odds.
Yeah, we went back and looked at this. Let's start in 2008. So the Bulls got the number one pick, like LeBron mentioned. They get Chicago native Derrick Rose, a chance to revive the Bulls franchise. All right, well, what were their odds to get the number one pick? Well, they were 1.7%. So basically, they were the Mavericks, what they were yesterday. That's what the Bulls were when they got the number one pick to pick Derrick Rose. 2011, the very first lottery after losing LeBron, the Cavs win the lottery via a pick they acquired from the Clippers, which had just a 2.8% chance of winning. They select Kyrie Irving. Now, the Cavs were the second best odds to get the first pick, but it was with their pick. And that pick went fourth, and they actually got the Clippers pick with a 2.8% chance. 2012, the very next year, this is right after CP3 was traded from the...
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
Hornets, well, magically, the Hornets win the lottery and they select Anthony Davis. They did have a 13.7% chance of winning, which were the fourth best odds, so not too crazy. But the following years, 2013 and 2014, other than the CP3 trade year, the Cavs won three lotteries in a row for the number one pick after LeBron had left. And they used one on Kyrie, stashed him away. And
Anthony Bennett,
Andrew Wiggins, and then they packaged both of them to get Kevin Love 2 weeks before LeBron re-signed in Cleveland, and they take their number one pick from 2011, Kevin Love and LeBron. By the way, that 2014 that they won, they had a 1.8% chance of winning. And then in 2019, with Anthony Davis on the verge of being shipped off to the Lakers, the Pelicans won the lottery again, this time for Zion Williamson, when they had a 6% chance of winning the lottery.
Just really, really hard to argue.
It is hard to argue.
Really hard to argue, and I don't usually like to get into this stuff. No, but man.
I do not think that the trade was orchestrated by the NBA. I don't think the NBA had anything to do with this. This was Nico going rogue, you know, doing his own thing. But I do think what happened is the NBA had no intention of doing this until they realized that they were about to or had lost the fan base in the fourth largest market.
As RJ Choppy predicted back on March 5th.
If the NBA had any soul, they would gift the Mavericks the first pick with Cooper Flagg. Like the NBA is looking at this right now, and they're recognizing, okay, this whole thing is screwed up. We are about to lose the fourth biggest market of a fan base. And you can't lose that. And they knew the Knicks fan base was dead in the water in 1984 or whatever. And they, oh, here's the cold envelope. Here's the cold envelope for the Knicks. The creased corner. You got to do that.
Well done.
What else are you, what else are you helping the government with?
If only you had bet it.
If only I could find a place to bet it. What? How did you find that?
I searched through your prep email, found you mentioning it on March 4th, and then I just went into the
podcast. He remembers
podcast.
More of your prep email than you
he
ever
is
do.
Psychotic.
He is psychotic.
He is psychotic.
That's why you need him.
Yep.
That's why you got to have him around. Yeah.
On your side, too. You do not want him as an enemy.
Oh, yeah.
Worst enemy in history.
I'm hear trying that, to think what would ever happen if me and Bobby just turned on each other.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
it was nice knowing you.
What's the
me?
Yeah,
you think Bobby would win?
If he wanted to get vengeful, you can be vengeful, but he's vengeful with the computer. That's
yeah,
yeah.
I can't match with the technology. Yeah. I have some other things. About All right, the number one guy to talk to in the building after last night is in the other room. Kevin Hagelin, Corey Majors. It's a Cooper Flag party in KNC Crosstalk, and they're telling us that this former Maverick fan is officially back. No way. We'll talk about it next. But how about talking about your grill game? How about Mexican hot chicken, beef rib chili, pork belly, burnt ends, tacos, tamales, tortas, enchiladas, amazing sides and appetizers? How about flame kiss breakfast like brisket Benedict, chorizo biscuits and gravy, and smoked menudo? All of these things are going to become a part of your grilling and cooking arsenal because of Hurtado Barbecue, the official barbecue of the morning show and the Texas Rangers, and Brandon Hurtado's brand new book, Barbacoa, the heart of Tex-Mex barbecue, which no one had heard about before the previous few years. These are the recipes. These are the strategies. These are the techniques for rubs and mops and sauces. Cilantro lime crema, ancho mustard vinaigrette. Are you kidding me? What about the desserts? Smoked blueberry cobbler and Mexican hot chocolate pecan pie or pecan, whatever you want. There's been 10,000 copies sold. Amazon, wherever you get your books, you can stop by any of the Hurtado locations. The one I suggest the most right now is the Dallas Farmers Market one. Make an entire afternoon, evening, or weekend of it. They got Arlington, Mansfield, Fort Worth, and two inside the globe for all your catering needs. And to skip the line, go to Hurtado at HurtadoBBQ.com. Coming up Tuesday morning on Sean and RJ, we have another Rangers ticket giveaway during the 7 o'clock expressway and PP in the morning at 8:20.
We got Cooper Flag!
Tuesday morning on The Fan. That was 24 hours ago.
That's what's up, Sean! Yeah, I know, buddy.
I don't know. I said that kind of angrily. I'm super excited.
He's been giving you a lot of love this morning.
Thank you very much.
This is a really poorly kept secret. Like, Chop is calling it 2 months in advance. Hagee's just, like, dropping it in a tease. Everybody knew what the NBA was doing.
No, Kevin, it was so ridiculous that saying it was like, oh, it could never happen. And then it did happen. That's what... I'm jaded by this. I'm sorry, Sean. I had nothing to do with this. Kevin did. Kevin willed it into existence. I'll give him 1,000% credit on this. Since... Right after we saw Cooper Flag scoring all over Team USA, I was like, hey, Kevin, why don't we try and get that guy? And he said, it'll cost you the number one overall pick. And that was last year.
Yeah.
And I was like, so it could happen. Never. This season made me believe that nothing good could ever happen again.
Yes.
Here we are. So, Kevin, I'll give you credit for this.
Can you imagine if you went back in time a year and you're like, all right, here's the deal. Mavericks are not going to have Luka anymore, but they're going to have Anthony Davis and get Cooper Flagg. Would you just like pass out from like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
Never that sounds like it. Nonsense.
Never would have thought it could happen.
You're wearing the Duke shirt, the hat, the blue shoes as well.
Oh, these are Kyrie Duke shoes.
Oh, where were you yesterday while this was unfolding?
I was in a public place when this happened and I did not hide my excitement.
Did they have TVs?
Yes, they did. Thank goodness. So
yeah, that is our first segment is your real initial reaction. Yeah. Because there are a lot of people right now that are making their comments based on what they've collected. But when you first heard it, what did you really feel?
But how could you feel anything except jubilation?
Exactly.
I absolutely felt jubilation. So we were at a pizza place. We do some work with refugee kids on Monday. And it was our end of the semester like pizza party.
Why did you lower your voice when you said that? You know, we did some work with refugee kids.
Did I?
I think you did.
Oh, I think it's because I was yelling too much before. So, and I'm about to yell again. And so we're, you know, doing the pizza party and everything, and it's supposed to be over at like 6:15, 6:30, and so the draft lottery comes on at 6 o'clock. And so I'm kind of watching as we're like wrapping up, and I see them go to 11, and it's not the Mavericks. And I was like, holy crap, does that mean we moved into the top four? And then they show Rolando Blackman, and I was like, yes! And so I needed to take three kids home, and they go to the commercial break, and it's just the last four picks. And I was like, we got to stay. And the lady, Elisa, who runs the whole thing, and she's like, okay, boys, it's time to go. And I was like, oh, sorry, Elisa, that's on me. I need to stay for like five more minutes and watch this. And like a couple other people stayed.
So pipe down, Lisa.
And there were other people in the restaurant, but I didn't care. Is when it kept going, and when they pulled out the Spurs card, I was like, oh my God, we got Cooper Flag. And I was going crazy, and then the kids started to jump around. It was awesome.
What would you do if Nico did not end up drafting him?
What's the real result?
Is it a straight up trade for Giannis?
Yes.
I guess I could sort of wrap my head around that, but I can't imagine too many other scenarios.
I could wrap my head around Giannis.
But people are saying like that's part of a package for Giannis. No, no. No,
it's the only way you can deal. Really?
Is 12 years younger.
But you got to.
Than Giannis.
You have to.
There's. Oh well. No, I get that. But like, what spare parts would they put in there? I'm actually not sure how that would work with the money at all. Without giving away a piece that it seems like the Mavericks really like. But I do. I don't want to add to it outside of obviously you have to make the money.
Yeah. What if it's Dylan Harper?
No. What?
I agree.
Why would you do that?
I agree. I'm just throwing the next name out there. Ace.
How good is he, Kevin? Tell us about his game.
Cooper Flag or
his comp? Cooper Flag.
I think his comp is. I mean, his ceiling is Larry Bird.
Oh my goodness.
Well,
there were some Michael Jordan moments when I was watching his highlights of like defensive plays that I was very impressed with. But then I saw these passes that Bird makes too. That you're just like, they're not smooth, but they're the right one in a weird moment.
And then comp wise, although this is really high and it feels really unfair, his comp would be Scottie Pippen. Which, I mean, great. If he turns out to be Scottie Pippen.
Yeah, as long as we have Jordan.
So him versus Tatum, Banchero, if the three of them are coming out in the same draft, who are you taking 1, 2, 3 with your Blue Devil love?
I would take Cooper Flag. It's tough just because at this moment with Tatum, like, he's going to be out for a year.
Just forget the injury.
Yeah, I probably would have gone Flag, Tatum, Banchero. Though, clearly, all are excellent players. It's just Cooper Flag is a better defender than, well, obviously, Jason Tatum and Banchero. And so I'm really intrigued by that. He has an opportunity with his length to be a really, really top-notch defender.
I heard this morning your guest say not the most developed offensive player.
Yeah. But he's still coming along there.
That sounded like it kind of scared you a little bit.
Well, it's just he said, and if his offensive game doesn't come along, you know, that's fine. I was like, well, no, it's not.
It's
like,
not
it better come along.
But how many offensive games at 18 are developed?
And keep in mind, and that's another thing, he just turned 18. Like, he should be graduating high school. He skipped a year or reclassified.
Yeah, I mean,
like
you've got, because his offensive game come along, that could mean Anthony Davis, which it does, or it could mean Ben Simmons, and it never does.
Your school does nothing but churn out hateable individuals and personalities.
It's true.
Does Cooper Flag belong in any of those discussions or tiers?
I don't think so. I think he kind of fits in the Banchero mold of like not particularly offensive. When we were at the East Regional Finals, some guy was like, oh, good job, pretty boy. And I was like, look, you could say a lot of things about Cooper Flag. I do not believe that pretty boy would be...
Power rank the prettiness of Banchero, Tatum, and Cooper Flag.
I feel like you got to go Tatum, Banchero, and Flag.
Okay.
Well, that leg ain't pretty now, but.
Well, okay, fair. Okay. But like, we joked, and even my wife was like, okay, of all the things you're going to say about Cooper Flag, I don't think pretty boy is at the top of the list. I think people will learn too.
Why? Because he's like gritty, grimy.
No, he's just really
ugly.
He's not ugly.
Not
he's
attractive.
Just young and maybe. Still hoping to like clear up just a
jeez.
Little bit.
Oh. Wow.
Very, very close together eyes.
Wow. No, what? That's not what I meant.
I mean, I don't know that he's going to grow into that one.
That's not what I meant at all.
It's not ours.
I thought you were talking about finesse versus.
Oh, no. I just meant what he actually looks
but
like.
He's a gamer. He's a gritty player.
He does the work. Yeah. He does the work, man.
One thing, just keep an eye out on, because it failed them in the Houston game, and it failed them in a couple games in November. He wants the ball, and he wants to do something, but he has had trouble converting at the end of the game. At least he did this last year.
Go back, and if you get a chance, Scalabrine was on with Julian Edelman a while back. Have you heard that audio yet? He asked about him, and Scalabrine had him come in when he was 14, come into his gym. And he was like, dude, this gym, we don't mess around. You walk in, it is everything. We go at it. And he said, as soon as this kid walks in, he gets the ball, pump fakes, bounces it off the backboard, dunks on everybody, the whole gym's silent. And that's when Scalabrine said, and said, I told y'all I brought somebody in here to whoop y'all's ass.
Dang.
And he said he just sit there for the next hour and beat the crap out of all of his kids. So he's one of those guys. And that was like 14, 15 years old.
All right, who's going to relay this allegation that a Dallas Maverick fan who swore them off and said he's never coming back has returned? I don't believe it.
Well, I had multiple conversations with this individual yesterday, and I can in fact confirm. I talked to Mike Bassick, and
what?
He is in. He's back in on the Mavs, even though
what
he agreed. He was like, look, I told you it was all rigged. And I told him months ago, if this is how it played out, I would agree with him. And
Dwight Powell is a better player.
Oh, man. Wow.
Jeez, Mike.
That'll be really tough.
Well, Mike's tweets yesterday did not relay that sentiment to me.
I agree.
Because he talked about how it's rigged, right?
He said, well, good for the Mavs. The NBA is so rigged. And then the follow-up is, I won't be surprised if Nico trades the pick. But he's still saying he's in.
All right, let me give you some more context on that. I hope this is okay with Mike. Mike believes there's a 10% chance that Nico trades the pick. So that's not very high. And he's back in on the Mavericks. He was like, hey, it's all rigged, but at least good for the Mavs this time. But he's in. He's in on the Mavs.
I think if it was up to Nico, it'd be way higher than 10%.
I think it's higher than 10% regardless.
I think Nico would absolutely trade the pick if he was allowed to. So
Nico could talk Dumont into anything, I think.
Corey, would anything? Giannis in any way entice you?
That would be fine. It's just that's an old team, and I don't really.
That would be an old team.
With this already old team, I do need to see some sort of youth that is the future in addition to it. And I think Flag's the perfect fit for it. And so that's when, if I get my options, I don't want Giannis.
Didn't he have cramping issues early on at Duke? Is that the conditioning Nico wants?
hey, get him out of here. That was absolutely an issue at least twice in the first like 6 or 7 games. I had a question.
Sorry about that. He's from Maine. He's not used to the South.
Fair. I had a question for you, Bobby. Are you upset that Nico got this as kind of a potential bailout?
Yes. No, I don't think this bails out an awful decision. Okay. But, like, he's still responsible for
it
the
worst.
It will
just cover up some.
It can reward him.
No, like,
that's a problem.
I don't think it'll reward. Like, I don't think it'll do enough soon enough to save his job. Like, he'll get fired before he sees the true results of it.
Listen, if Cooper Flagg comes here and wins more titles than Luka does in L.A., all right?
Not one.
It will bail him out, and he this was not his plan, right? It's bailing him out without him doing
sure.
it.
Sure, because if this was your plan, unless you had that crooked deal with the NBA, right, that was a foolish plan.
There you
plan.
Go, yeah.
Where do you stand, Corey, now on the rigged talk? Where were you before it?
It's definitely rigged. Yeah, 1,000%. I think the plan was presented to him in the first place. I think this was brought to him all way before the Luka part. It was hey, we need LA to be popping again. They're about to lose LeBron. We need some star out there. Can you do this for us? And we'll ensure that you get this next number one overall pick to do whatever you want with.
You agree?
Yes.
With even the Luka part of it.
Yep.
Wow.
I told you. And
I mean, y'all do like wrestling.
And I get it. That's true. Did I ever tell you?
Vince wrote a hell of a story here.
Yeah, I was at a UFC event one time, And this guy had just won the belt, and he was like, I'll fight you right here and right now. And I was in the crowd, and I looked up to that guy to the suite where he was in, and I really thought he might just walk down and have the fight right then because I probably watched too much wrestling. I'll admit that.
We are back tomorrow with Stars Game 4 recap. We'll have another Rangers ticket giveaway during the 7 o'clock expressway. And Brett Boone, every Wednesday at 9:20, the KNC Masterpiece, celebrating Cooper Flagg, we think, next.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.